Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
To think about it, it is right here, it is right now.
Love so strange, said you never know.
How you doing, Brandon Stokely?
Yeah.
Great. Got us a win. Man, got us a win, man. That was awesome. You know, this is what I thought I would see. This is why I picked him to go 10-7. This is why I thought Teddy was going to be the starting quarterback. And then he goes out there and he plays a great game. The Broncos played a great game. Vic Fangio was awesome. I mean, like all around, the special teams didn't screw it up. I mean, defense closed the door. You know, the formula was everything. It was just, you go on the road, it's not easy in the NFL. And the Broncos went out there and they just manhandled the Giants and took it to them. And there's just so many positives that came out of that game. It's like, wow, this is how we're starting the season. It's one game. It's one game. That's it. But at the same time, I'm just reacting to that. I'm optimistic. I loved what I saw. I'm excited about next week. I'm excited about this football team for the first time in a long, long time. So I'm in a great mood. How about you?
Man, we have come in here so many Mondays after Broncos either beatdowns or just heartbreaking losses here in the last few years. This is the first Monday since September 30th, 2018 that we can come in here and talk about a Broncos win. That feels good. And the way
in September,
in September, their last win in September was September 29, 2018.
Long time ago.
It's been years.
Super duper bad.
Super duper below not good. And to come in here, not only with a win, but what your eyes told you about this football team. Yes, it is only one football game. No, we are not planning the parade, but my eyes told me that the Broncos are going to be a good football team this year.
Competent, competitive, right? I mean, that's, you're exactly right. And that gets me excited. I don't know if they're going to win, you know, 10 games. I don't know if they're going to win 9 games, 8 games. I don't know what it's going to be, but this is a competent football team. This team plays hard. They got talent. They got depth, Zach. That's another thing. They have depth. And you have to have depth to sustain injuries. You saw the Judy injury. They have depth to be able to overcome certain things. And so that's what gets me excited. This is going to be a competitive football team. Don't know what the record's going to be. They got a quarterback that can handle himself very, very well. And he's not going to be perfect. He's not going to be perfect, but you put him in a good situation and hopefully we see more of what we saw yesterday from Teddy, because he was absolutely brilliant. I'm talking about brilliant. I mean, some of the plays that guy made, escaping the pocket, stiff-arming a guy, guy hitting him in the mouth, throwing off his back foot to Hamler, getting out to the left. I mean, finding Okwuegbunam for that touchdown on fourth down. I mean, come on. He was brilliant yesterday. Flat out brilliant.
That is the perfect Teddy Bridgewater game.
Yes.
Teddy's not going to go out there and be Jameis and throw 5 touchdowns. That's not who he is. That right there is the perfect, quintessential Teddy Bridgewater game. An outstanding completion percentage. He was so accurate with that darn football. He was so accurate. 264 yards. It's not going to get much better than that for Teddy. 2 touchdowns. Didn't turn it over. His sacks, I thought, were good sacks. I went and rewatched the game this morning.
Look at you.
He didn't try
to. Look at you.
That's
pat yourself on the back. For me. I can't reach you. You pat yourself on the back.
Look,
it's the grinder. It's what you do.
Zach's a grinder.
Teddy.
Where is it?
Oh, no, no, no. iPad's not firing. Hey, that, like, Teddy Bridgewater, the sacks that he did take, they were good. They, right. Those were Peyton Manning sacks. Oh, I'm in trouble. Not going to try to force
it. Too long.
I'm going down.
Yes.
I'm just going to live to fight another day. And I just, like, I went back. On the rewatch.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Against a good defensive front, right? I mean, talking about Leonard Williams, he had over double-digit sacks last year. I mean, they got some guys that can get after the quarterback.
Yep, and that's going to happen. It's the NFL. It's going to happen. But how do you mitigate those negative situations?
Don't make a bad play worse.
Don't make a bad play worse.
And we saw that too much last year.
Of course we did. Of course we did. And just, I could not find a negative Teddy play. Swear to you, on the rewind, I was literally purposefully watching the game through the lens of what went wrong for Teddy. Now, it wasn't perfect 100% of the time. It's the National Football League. I couldn't find a play, a singular play, where Teddy hurt the football team. And I just, is it always going to be like this every Sunday? No. Is he going to throw interceptions? No. He's Teddy Bridgewater. He's not going to the Hall of Fame.
He's not
going to
throw interceptions?
No, he's going to throw interceptions.
Oh, okay.
This guy's not going
nice
to Hall of Fame.
Didn't.
But I'm telling you, that game right there, I heard Mike Evans, I like the way he put it this morning. He said that was a blueprint game for the Broncos. And you could reduce that to Teddy Bridgewater. That was a blueprint game for how you need Teddy Bridgewater to play. And if he plays like that, Broncos are going to win a bunch of games.
And he played clutch. Played clutch. You know, the fourth down play, that was to Okwuegbunam, one of them, right? On the touchdown, was that
on the fourth
down?
And one?
Yes, yes,
fourth
yes.
And one.
I mean, you know, just keeping the play alive, the one to Sutton also, not only did he make the plays that he needed to make, but he played clutch in clutch moments. Fourth down, I mean, no bigger down than that, right?
So they were 3 for 3 on fourth down.
I mean, and Vic, you know, letting them hang and, you know, being really polar opposite of what he's been. And just being really, really aggressive, I think set the tone, obviously. And, you know, I don't know what the outcome's going to be if Vic just plays it conservative and just punts the football. But it's a lot closer than what it was. And so he had a different mindset. His football team looked a lot different. Teddy was clutch. He made plays with his feet. And, you know, he was, it was just fun to watch, finally. It was fun to watch. And I got to give another shout out here. Another guy deserves a big shout out.
Can I guess who it is?
Yeah.
Pat Shurmur.
Patty, where you at, baby? I told you we were going to start with a clean slate this year.
Yep.
I said it last week, and he was great. I mean, he was great. The way he mixed-matched the run to the pass. Play action.
Beautiful.
I'm sitting there thinking, is run. Nope. Play action. Boom. You know, just giving some scheme plays in there for Teddy. He was great, man. He was great, and I've been very critical of him from day one.
Deservingly so.
Yeah. But even before he, you know, was a coach for the Broncos.
Stoke, I was right there with you. We went back and looked at his career, and it's the most undistinguished thing that you can find. As a play caller, he's had one time where his offense has been in the top 10. That was 10th. In 2017 with Case Keenum and the Minnesota Vikings. But I'll tell you what. Look how many points the Broncos scored yesterday. 27.
Yep.
We have come in here Monday after Monday through the last handful of years and just talking about an offense that is dreck, lifeless, dead. That offense, 27 points. If you can flirt with 27 consistently, I'm not saying get 27 over. If you can flirt in the mid-20s with this defense, again, Broncos are going to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, they certainly will. But I loved how Pat orchestrated the game plan. It was executed very well by the Broncos. You know, mixed match three wide receivers, two tight end sets, a lot of different things. But, you know, and it is, you know, a lot easier to call plays when the guys are out there executing and making plays.
That's right.
You know, converting fourth down, staying on the football field. And they did a great job of that yesterday. The offense did. So kudos to Pat Shurmur. I thought he was great yesterday also.
Going back to Vic going for it on fourth down, this was Vic Fangio after the football game talking about that aggression.
It was just my gut. When I brought it up, I didn't have a lot of backing by anybody. Was kind of cricketish, cricket-like. I said, we're doing it. So I just felt like I had confidence in the offense, number one, obviously. Number two, I felt that I knew if we got the first down, we could go get some points. Didn't know it would be 3 or 7, and I thought it was important. And the reason I let it run down to 50. I told the guy at 50. He did it at 48. You know, if we didn't get it, just to take a little bit of time off. And we had three timeouts, you know, with two following that one. And that was it. It was just more of a gut feeling than anything else.
The old gut. The old kidney stone gut. Is the kidney stone still there? If it is, just leave it. Look.
I love how you say it. That's Vic still being Vic.
Yeah.
Hey, I went to... I went to go for it. I heard crickets.
Nothing
in my headset.
Nothing. Nothing from anybody.
The offensive coaches, crickets.
Nothing. So I just manned up and said, "We're going for it."
So classic. That is just classic.
Double pat on the back.
Double pat.
It's right here. I mean, you remember when he did? I remember one. Remember when he did that last year? Or no, two years ago. Remember when he did it?
Talking about the offensive coach said no, and I said go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end of the game, the Chargers game, yes. Or the end of the half, or the end of the game.
Yep.
End of the game,
yep.
Chargers game.
Yep.
You know, nobody else wanted to do it, but I said, we're going for it. We're not going to kneel it. And they went on, they won the football game, but that's what that reminded me of. Hey, guess what? Do it, Vic. Pat yourself on the back. I love it. Right? I absolutely love that. I don't care.
If you get it right.
If you get it right, man, Pat, because I'm patting you on the back also.
Right.
Look, I'm here for that. I love it, and it worked. Now, look. The first one, we had ourselves a fourth down and 7 at the 37, right? I'm down with that. That's good. I can get down with that, Zach.
The second one.
Now I'm sitting. I'm going to keep it real with you.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not one of those guys that tell you one thing and then you know whatever. I'm going to keep it real with you. I didn't like that second one. I thought that was a bad decision. I didn't like that. And I was sitting there saying, ooh, don't go for it. Don't go for it. And Slareth was saying the same thing on the call. By the way, great call
from
Mark.
Yep.
Great call from Mark. I thought he was great yesterday. Not good, great. And I don't always think that, but yesterday he was great. He was great. What?
He was. I don't always think that, but yesterday he passed the test.
You know, I mean, he did tell us Aaron Rodgers was coming here. You know, I mean, that, he was great then.
Hey, who needs Aaron Rodgers when you got Teddy?
We got Teddy! We don't want Aaron! Thank you, Mark, for not getting that right.
Keep your Aaron Rodgers.
You can keep him, Green Bay.
We got Teddy.
Thank you for getting that wrong, Mark. Day 23.
I love it.
Smear campaign, Slareth.
By the way, just a program note, we're going to hear from Vic Fangio any second. Fangio is expected to be stepping up to the microphone here in just a couple minutes. So we will go live to the podium when he does step up.
Perfect. You know, I didn't think the second one, you know, you wanted to go for it in that situation. It's fourth and two. You got 50 seconds left, 48 seconds left to go right before halftime. You're down 7-3. If you don't get it right there, you know, now all of a sudden the Giants are probably going to get points before halftime. But, you know what, sometimes you just got to do it. Sometimes you just got to go for it. And so, look, I wasn't down with it. I did not like it, you know. And Mark was saying he thought they weren't going to snap it.
Right.
And they snapped it.
Yep.
And they delivered. And it was a great, great catch by Cortland Sutton. And his first catch coming back. That was his first catch.
That's right. And his
fourth
only
down
catch.
And two.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
Fourth down and two.
And by the way,
it was a low ball. Wasn't a perfectly thrown ball. He went down there, got it, and took a hit. So, you know, that was a big-time play. Obviously, now you're up 10-7 going into half, and then you piggyback that with another touchdown coming out of halftime. Now it's 17-7. So a huge, huge decision by Vic that really, you know, turned the game.
Yeah.
Because if they don't get it, this game probably turns out differently. I didn't like it at the time, but you know what? You got to make those decisions. So good job by Vic, really being aggressive there in a couple big moments.
And by the time the Giants get the ball back there at the end of the second, quarter, there's only 8 seconds left and the Broncos get the ball coming back out of halftime. Stoke, 55 minutes separated the last Giants possession where they ran a play to when they got the ball back in the second half. As a former offensive player, nearly an hour without
it's a long time
getting reps on offense, and
they're not very good on offense to begin with,
right?
You know, you need to get in a rhythm,
right?
And you just kind of ice those guys, and then all next thing you know, they're winning 7-3. By the time they get the football back to actually run a real play, it's 17-7.
Right?
Like, what just happened? We haven't even had the ball.
You know what that is? That is the transferring it from a jab landed to a combo landed.
To the combo.
Hit him with that combo.
The combo.
That swings the fight.
That right left or that left right?
What
do you go with?
Left right.
Left right, okay.
Finish up strong.
Yeah.
But you hit someone with that combo. That's a sudden change within a fight.
Yeah.
That's what happened in this football game. The last a few minutes of the second quarter into the first few minutes. I say first few minutes. How about this? I mean, look at the drives that the Broncos put together. At the end of the second quarter, that was a 7-play, 57-yard drive, followed by a 16-play, 75-yard drive. We have not. It wasn't like big gash plays. It was operating with a scalpel. And, man, it was, again, it was just fun. That was a fun football game.
Well, it was. Aggressive, you know, capitalizing on mistakes. It was, you know, this was a fun one to watch for sure. You know, it's, don't want to hear the nonsense about it's the Giants. I don't think they are a very good football. They didn't look like a very good football team, but you got to give credit to the Broncos. Daniel Jones looked awful. But give credit to that Broncos defense, right? On the road, first game of the year is not easy. And to beat an NFL team by 14 points and
on the road,
it should have been 21 points or whatever, you know, they had seven, so it would have been 20 points. That last touchdown was, I mean, come on.
That was window dressing. They shouldn't have probably ran a play.
No, they should have just kneeled and said, uncle, you know.
And I had the 41. I had the 41 and a half for the total. So he punches it in there to get to 40. And
they
I'm
don't
like,
kick it anymore.
Right, but they used to, didn't they?
But you still would have won.
I still would have won.
Unless they went for two.
I just.
Unlike that can't miss parlay you were telling me about last week.
Teaser.
Yeah, the teaser, can't miss teaser.
Yeah.
I got this can't miss teaser, so you got to look at it. I'm like, good. He's like, I'll send a picture. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it can't. I'm like, I looked at it. It's a three-teamer, and I'm like, I don't love it. Didn't I tell you I didn't love it? I told you that, right?
You did tell me that.
And you went like 1-1 and 1 in it.
I did.
You tied one, you lost one, and you won one. The can't miss parlay. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm like, I don't know, Zach. I don't really love it as much. I've never seen you so giddy about a parlay. You got Palumbo on it. I think you got Bearcat Jim on it. I mean, you had all kind of people in this thing.
Just taking everyone down
like
with
a hedge fund you had going on there that just like you just stole all the money Bernie Madoff did or something. I mean, like, holy cow, the can't miss parlay that just whiffed.
I'll tell you what, you know who cleaned up this weekend? Is all the sports books around the country.
Oh, my goodness.
I was reading about it this morning. Oh, my gosh. It was, first of all, it was
crazy week.
It was the most bet NFL week in the history of the National Football
That's
League.
That's right.
They said there was over 58 million tickets. Just tickets. Who knows what the handle was on this stuff. But, man, talk about stuff you didn't see coming. The Eagles on the road going into Atlanta and winning 32-6.
Like what?
Let's go.
How about the Cardinals?
It's unbelievable. The Steelers going into all the big favorites lost. Let's go live to the podium. Vic Fangio speaking to the media.
You're going to miss some time. I mean, it's hard to put a timetable on it right now.
Is IR a possibility this week?
I don't know. I haven't talked about that with George yet.
What is on the table for him? Is it just recovery or is anything else being considered?
Yeah, they're looking at all options. But at this very moment, it'll just be recovery.
Did you have any other injuries
or
anybody else be
able to
game,
right? Yeah, Graham Glasgow had some internal issues after the game. They started during the game, he said. So we kept him up there in New York, and they examined him totally. He's still up there. He'll stay the night. But the plan is for him to come back tomorrow morning.
What kind of, can you sort of elaborate on that?
Yeah, just he had a kind of had an irregular heartbeat going.
Yeah. Report on that, or
yeah, everything is so far so good.
Now, did he leave the stadium in an ambulance? Or
I'm not. Did he, Patrick? Yeah, okay, he did.
Vic, when you went back and looked at the tape today, what did you take away from Josie Jewell's performance?
Josie played good. You know, Josie plays good most of the time for us. And the thing that he does for us that doesn't show up in the stats is, you know, he's our communicator out there. And really helps a lot of people get lined up, gives them tips, you know, just the extra stuff that make a big difference. But he played his position well, too.
Two on Sertan on the touchdown. How does he need to play that?
Yeah, he needs to be tighter on that one for sure. We could have helped him out in a couple other instances. on that play that would have made that pickup a little easier, but he does have to be tighter on it.
And then how comfortable did you look on Rudolph in terms of operating in tight quarters?
He did good. You know, there wasn't a ton of plays, but was pleased with his play overall.
You think Muti got a few snaps yesterday. Was that because of what Graham was experiencing?
I think so. You know, Graham said it's, he told me after, told me this morning that it started bothering him in the second or third series, and he just kept trying to play through it.
And will you look to Natani to take his spot if he's not able to go?
Yeah, that'd probably be the what would happen.
Too much after that touchdown where he missed the tackle. Was that, what was that? Why was that?
Well, the plan was we were going to give him a series in the first half, and that was the series. And then the third quarter, you know, we drove the ball a pretty good ways, time-wise. And so we went out there for the first series. And then next time we were out on the field, I believe it was the fourth quarter. So we just decided to finish it that way and because we might be playing more dime.
Coach, this was the first time that you had a chance to address your team 1-0 and also address your team with a winning record as a head coach. What's the difference that you have experienced this time around than other times? Has it been like a relief off your shoulders?
Well, I'm sure it's a relief for a lot of people, yeah. I mean, there's much been said about it because it's true. But the approach will still be the same. We're going to grade, critique the game, learn from it, and then put all our focus both mentally and physically into the Jacksonville.
Mr. Tan, are you trying to do that to see what the best combination is or to get him more experience or kind of what was the thought?
Yeah, we just want him to play some. You know, he's too good of a player to only play in the dime package. So we want to have him ready, and we're grooming him. Not grooming him, but he deserves to play some. So we're going to play him some.
Can you talk about your approach on fourth down yesterday?
Yeah, each and every time those three times came up, you know, I just felt it was the right thing to do.
Melvin Gordon gets the 70-yard run to kind of, you know, hit with 4 minutes to go. Up until that point, kind of like him and Javonte were splitting carries throughout the game. How much do you think that helps in a late-game situation like that if you guys are fresh the way that they're?
I think it helps, no doubt about it, especially, you know, when it's hot like it was there. It does keep them both fresh, but you know, when you have two good backs like that, that motivates you to do it even more. You know, if there's a big drop-off from one to the other, then you may not be motivated to do it as much, but we feel good about both guys.
Will you look to one specific player to fill Jerry Jeudy's spot these next coming weeks, or will it be, like, by committee?
Well, it would be, you know, Tim, Cortland, and KJ will get the bulk of it. And, you know, Spence is a wideout who's up for punt returns, and we'll look to see, you know, make a decision if we bring somebody up in his place.
We think that September narrative goes away. You see the joy in the roster's eyes and the locker room's eyes. How do you jack them back up when Jacksonville's coming, you know, got another road trip and you got another a chance to prove something there?
It's another opportunity. It's round two in a 17-round fight, and they all count the same. And we got to get back to work and focus on them.
What do you see on the pass interference call in Darby and then the fumble recovery by Logan Ryan there?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a good call on Darby. And the fumble recovery, the one with Alberto? Yeah, that was, you know, they first told me, and you guys probably saw that they were talking to me the whole way. And they first told me it's going to be our ball. They're just figuring out where to exactly place it and the timing element of it. And then he came back and said, you're not going to like this. The head guy in New York came in and said, let it stand. And the head guy overruled the first guy's verdict on it.
Is that insufficient evidence because that was already the call in the field? Or?
Yeah. The first guy that looked at it and made the call from New York, along with the referee, was going to reverse it. And then the head guy came in and said, make it stand.
Coach, now that you had a chance to look at the tape, what impressed you the most about Teddy Bridgewater's performance from yesterday?
His efficiency, his calmness, yet his ability to make plays under duress and with improvising. You know, I thought he played very well. And, you know, it was reflective in the stats.
That seems like an up-and-down day for Kyle Fuller, but did you like how he responded in the goal lines, you know, snare had the two deflections after Ron Kessler?
Yeah, I mean, he came up big there at the end of the game. He had some balls caught on him earlier. I think he can play some of those better. You know, no corner's going to go unscathed, but we need to cut down on the amount that we're caught on him.
There's been a big emphasis on special teams. How do you feel like it is?
Yeah, I think our guys that we picked up, Jonas came in and did good. Mike came in and did good. Didn't like his penalty, obviously. That was one of the bigger disappointments. We had too many penalties yesterday after being pretty much scot-free the whole preseason. And, you know, we need to clean that up. But I thought overall the new players came in and helped us, and I thought our guys played well.
How urgent was St. Patrick's performance, especially after last season, then with QD's injury now?
Well, encouraging is a word you can use, I guess, but I'm not surprised by it. That's what I expect from Tim. Tim's a bona fide good NFL receiver, and that's what he should be able to do, and because he can do it.
How about the offense? Finishing drives. Slow start, got her going. Overall.
Yeah, I mean, they fumble there, stopped one of the drives. You know, and we were helped by the fourth down go-fours. We converted three of them, so that helped continue drives. You know, you're not going to be able to go for it all the time on fourth down. So I thought we did good, but we definitely can do better.
You passed more than you ran, but were you pleased that you stayed patient enough to run? And was Gordon's run maybe a result of staying patient throughout the game to run?
Yeah, they were. A big part of their plan was obvious. They wanted to stop the run, wanted to stop our boot game, and they went made schematically drastic measures to do that. And they were successful with it early. That's why we had more success passing. But we did stay with it. And if you stay with not only Melvin's long run, but we popped a couple 10-yarders in there too, got a couple 6-yarders. And those were critical because those set up third and shorts to medium that we were able to convert. So, yeah, we'd like to be a team that could stay with the run even if it's not going.
I just want to be clear. What was the reasoning for the head guy not wanting to reverse that fumble call? Did they explain it to you?
I'll give you Walt Anderson's number. You can call him.
Does it seem like teams are going for it more often on fourth down or being more aggressive than they have been?
Probably. You know, we've looked at it hard over the years, and everybody remembers the ones that worked. The greatest example I can give you is the Ravens 2 years ago were 14-2 in the regular season, and they lost their playoff game. You know, they had a hell of a team, and they were going for it on fourth down more than anybody. You know, they have a quarterback that allows them to do more things. But in two of the three losses they had, going for it on fourth down got stopped several times and was a major factor in two of their losses, including the playoffs. So it's nice when it works, and everybody loves it, but there is a other side of that story sometimes.
Was the preseason against Seattle when you went for it on that first drive with Teddy have an influence maybe on you going for it yesterday?
No, I just thought yesterday was important at that time to do it.
Is it analytics or is it your gut feeling at the moment?
Gut feeling.
Shows the analytics.
Gut feeling.
Because you guys used a fair amount of three tight end, Priscilla.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday. What did you like about, that
one? Obviously, the run guys always like to have the big guys in there. It you have more runs available to you. But you also got to be able to throw some out of there. So we got to be balanced when we do it. And it's a good personnel package if you're balanced with it.
Long season, guys got to pick up the flag. What kind of opportunity could this be for KJ with where the wide receiver room is right now?
Yeah, it'd be a great opportunity. Now, you know, you got all the snaps being divided up by three instead of four. And I like the three we got.
There's one last one here with Eric and Arnie.
Some plays that the fumble with Albert O, a couple of penalties that put you in second or third long. Is it something about Teddy that kind of helps you overcome some of those things that maybe in the past the offense wasn't able to recover from those setbacks?
Yeah, we didn't have too many penalties on offense. I think we only had one that I'm aware of right now that I can remember. But, yeah, I mean, there's we can chip away, you know, second and 13 or 15 and get it to third manageable, you know. So, yeah, I think Teddy's part of that, but the whole offense is too.
Marty, go ahead. Vic, one last thing on Glasgow. Does he have any history of heart
arrhythmia?
It just announced itself yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, that was the head football coach, Vic Fangio, speaking to the media after his first September win. We have so much to react to, and we'll do it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we just heard from the head football coach, Vic Fangio, speaking to the media less than 24 hours after his first September win. Took him till year three, but we got there, and they did it.
Better late than there.
Better late than there.
Late. That's that chocolate chip cookie I was just eating.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to drink. Better late than never, Zach.
Of course.
Right?
And the way that it came, that was rather dominant. I think that was a, can you classify that as a dominant win?
That was dominant. I mean, they were up 20 with, you know, 1 second left. I thought the guy should have let the last second run off the clock when they caught that little out route by the out of bounds. No need to really stop it there. Just let the stinking clock run out. But they kept 1 second on it. Yeah, I think it was complete domination. It really was. You know, that second half, I never really felt threatened that, oh, they're going to make a big run. They had an opportunity. And Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson jarred the ball loose from Daniel Jones, and that was game over.
Huge.
That was game over.
Yep.
But I never felt threatened there in the second half. I never was like, oh. It looked like they were in control. Defense was playing well enough. Offensively, you know, Teddy was making plays. So I think that was a what you can classify as a domination.
I think so, too. I think so, too. More first downs. Better on fourth down, ran more plays, controlled time of possession, had over 100 more yards. Just across the board. The Broncos had 105 more yards on the ground. I mean, Saquon Barkley, welcome back, bud. Totally bottled up. Reminded me of 2017 week two against the Dallas Cowboys when Zeke they just could not run the ball. That's what I got reminded of yesterday.
Yeah, but this was on the road.
Yep.
You know, that's a big difference.
Sure.
That crowd noise for your defense against opposing offensive lines. They didn't have that yesterday. Certainly their offensive line isn't the strong point like the Cowboys was when they came here a few years ago and the Broncos defense did that to Zeke. But yeah, it was great. I mean, they were great against the run. You know, I thought that penalty on Darby on the third down slant pass, I thought that was a bad call. He was going for the ball.
Yep.
He's got a right to the ball, too.
Yep.
And it was short of the sticks anyway. That was a big play for them. I think they ended up going down there and scoring, if I remember correctly. But Alberto had that fumble. So they had some plays in there, which you're going to have, but they were able to overcome them, and they made some big plays. So that was, I think it was about as dominant as you can get in the NFL, especially on the road. It's hard to do that, and certainly the Broncos aren't a team that's going to dominate teams a lot. You know, they're just not an explosive offense. I mean, the defense can do it, but they're all offensively, they're just not, you know, they're not built to be an explosive offense to be able to, you know, put up 35 a game.
Jerry Jeudy, 8 minutes and 50 seconds left in the third quarter, suffered an ankle injury. First, we thought he coughed the ball up when it happened. Replay showed his knee was down. Thankfully, it's been revealed that this is a high ankle sprain. It could have been worse, but we know that high ankle sprains, that can take quite a while to come back from. Thoughts on the injury?
Bummer. He looked great. Made some tough catches in traffic. You know, this was the Jerry Jeudy that we were, you know, hoping to see last year. Just consistent, making big plays, moving the chains.
Had he stayed in that game, he would have been well over 100 yards. Yep. And there's 9 minutes left in the third. He still led the Broncos in receiving yesterday. 6 receptions, 72 yards.
On 7 targets. You know, remember how many targets he had last year?
113.
I mean, he had so many targets, it just didn't match up with the receptions. I mean, you look at that, six receptions on 7 targets. I mean, it's hard to get much better than that.
That's right.
You know, these aren't, you know, dink and dunk passes.
Right.
So that's a great ratio right there.
After being under 50% a year ago.
Exactly. I was bummed, man. I mean, golly. It's like, wow, we finally get this passing game up to speed. Judy looks great, man. He was looking just, wow, he's just looking fast, explosive, in and out his breaks. And it's like, wow, this, okay, Broncos country, this is what we have seen. We saw last year in training camp. We saw this year in training camp. Like, this dude is the real deal, and he's doing it, and he's showing it. And then just like that, you know, football happens. Bummed out, stinks. I guess, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
For sure.
You know what I think of? I think of Dak last year.
Mm.
That's the same type of thing. You know, that guy lands on your leg and just kind of, you know, oh, just, and thank goodness if you, I've watched it a few times, but he had his ankle, you know, that guy was on it, and then the guy kind of rolled off of it. So thank goodness. But look, high ankle sprains are nothing to just, you know, sneeze about.
No, it's a sneeze about it.
I don't know what else he's supposed to, nothing to write home about? Like
nothing to write home about, nothing to shake it sick at?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
not sneeze.
You know, I chew.
Has anybody sneezed? Has anybody, is that a new one? Is that think, not in the repertoire?
I don't think so.
No?
But it might be now. It's not to sneeze at.
I wasn't quite sure. I didn't know what to go with, so I just went with sneeze. You sure?
It might be.
Huh? Is it at all? Did I just make that?
I don't know.
I don't know, but there's sayings that don't make sense, Zach.
True.
There are sayings, right?
True.
So that could be one of them. There's nothing. It's nothing to sneeze about.
Nothing to sneeze at.
I don't know. Is that? It sounds like it. It kind of.
It could be. Honestly.
Yeah, okay.
I'm throwing a challenge flag.
Yeah.
But.
I wasn't sure about it.
I'm throwing the challenge flag, but the big guy from New York may come in and overrule me.
How about that? But anyway, we'll get to it. Yeah. Anyway, high ankle sprains are tough. I've had a couple of them. One that, you know, early in my career when I was young like him, it looked bad, felt bad, and I didn't miss hardly any time. I had one later in my career. Whew, I missed a lot of time in Indy. A lot of time. Tried to come back too early, re-injured it. And it was just a domino effect for me, just, you know, ruined my whole year.
Yep.
So you just never quite know. That's why they don't know. They're like, you know, you just take it kind of week by week, or, you know, you can look at it and say this thing might be, you know, this is more on the severe side. It might be 3 weeks, but that thing could go 6 weeks.
Yep.
So I mean, it'll look bad. IR's 3 weeks minimum, I think.
And it's going to be through. If you got a high ankle sprain, you're not playing professional football in 3 weeks' time. So
I would say you probably just IR him.
Yeah.
And, you know, bring up another wide receiver, but we'll see.
We'll see. High ankle sprain kept me from being Hudson Valley Community College all-time leading rebounder.
Oh, my goodness.
People still talk about it to this day. I was on pace to shatter it.
Where's Hudson?
Troy, New York.
Okay.
All right.
They're still talking about that. Like, what a shame.
Still.
The guy had it.
Still. Is Von Miller back?
I mean, you know, Jerry Judy's high ankle sprain, Zach Bye's high ankle sprain.
Pulling down like 13 boards a game.
Right.
Is Von Miller back? Take a dive into it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Is Von Miller back? The last time that Von Miller had a 2-sack game.
When?
September 29th, 2019. In that gut punch of a loss, 26-24 to Jacksonville.
Oh.
The Minshew Houdini game.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Now, this wasn't terribly surprising for me. This is what I expected. In fact, on Friday when we were on the air,
Stokely is right. It's nothing to sneeze at, Zach.
Ah, we'll have to do some research on that.
Zach lives under a rock. Nothing to sneeze at is a saying. Thank you. Yes, I knew I was right. Knew it.
Richie just confirmed it. It is, in fact, a thing.
There we go.
Uh-huh. What's the origin behind that one?
I don't know.
Nothing
to sneeze
at.
It just felt
at.
Right. I just...
All right.
Okay.
This is Friday. Real snippet, a quick snippet of a Friday show. There could not be a better matchup for Von to start his 2021 campaign. Two sacks for Von Miller. Got to get after Daniel Jones. I think he will. Two sacks for Von. But just in general with this pass rush.
Two?
Two of them things.
Woo! I mean, look at that.
Come on.
Call your shot, Babe Ruth.
Come on.
Love it.
Kicking them all right. Kicking them all right. But
you were all over that.
Well, it was the matchup, man, and you saw it. I mean, that first sack, him going inside on Nate Solder, and then the second one, I don't know, like...
The guy fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah,
took a little nap, like, oh. Obviously, that guy wasn't on the snap count.
It looked crazy, didn't it?
Yeah. You know, sometimes they hit the center, they give the claps, and, you know, you think it's the third clap, and it was the second clap, or whatever the case may be. That stuff happens, and it happened. So good for Von. We'll take freebies.
Heck yeah.
You know, that number was 9.5. I'll take as many freebies as possible.
Oh, I see where your head's at.
Yeah. I jumped all over that.
You tucked two of those things in your pocket early with
right.
16 games to go?
Yeah. We both were buying Von Miller stock this year, and he's got a lot to play for. And he looked great, man. He looked great, not only in the passing game, you know, obviously getting two sacks, but I thought that play he made on the opening drive after, you know, it looked like they were going to get a three and out. And I think it was Shelby and Von kind of both jumped off sides.
Yeah.
Free play. Daniel Jones does what you should do, throws it deep, and Fuller gets beat deep. And now it's like, oh, my, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was three and out. Like, we had, you know, it was going to be perfect start. And then the next play, Jason Garrett got a little too cute and tried to do the end around jet sweep reverse deal to, I think it was Tony, their rookie wide receiver from, K. Tony. Kadarius?
Yeah, Kadarius Tony, yeah.
And Von did a great job of playing that. 6-yard loss right there, you know, and then you started pushing them out of field goal range, which they ended up having to punt. So I thought he played great against the run also. It wasn't just like, I'm getting sacks. He was just a really good football player. He had an impact.
He did.
You know, there was just too many times in previous seasons where we didn't see a Von Miller impact, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's just the real.
Right. And he had a huge impact in the passing game and the running game. So welcome back, Von. That was awesome to see. It really was. It was fun to watch him. And, you know, you deal with an injury. It's tough. You didn't play very well the year before. And, you know, it's like, how much football does he have left? Let's see. And he showed that he's got a lot left. Loved it.
Yeah, it can't have much better of a start than Von had. And to your
Lester
point.
Lester Chandler Jones.
What did he register?
Just five of them things.
No, did he really?
Yes.
Gosh.
Five. He had five.
Oh, my God.
Five.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll say this. That play over the top early in the game to Slayton, that was on Kyle Fuller, that was the most doubt that I had in the afternoon. Like, that moment, I'm like, is this like a here we go again thing?
Right.
Like, are they up for this task? But I'll say this. There was a few times yesterday when something very bad would happen for the Broncos, and then immediately the Broncos made a play and quelled whatever momentum that they were hoping to build off of it. And two things come to mind. One, that play, that run play that got swallowed up for a loss of five or six after the shot play to Slayton. The second one was after the fumble in the red zone from Albert O.
Yes.
The next series was three and out. They couldn't gain any sort of traction. They didn't move the ball 2 yards. And I thought, like, just settling in, like, okay, sudden change play happened. You're on the wrong side of it. And they didn't allow the Giants to build on it.
That's right. That's what good football teams do. Not saying the Broncos are a good football team. We'll see. But those are the traits of a good football team, right? You're doing the little things. adversity hits, you got a bad play, that's going to happen, right? You're going to make mistakes. Teddy throws an interception. You know, somebody fumbles the ball. Like, defense, can you get on the field and make a play? So things like that, you know, defense gives up a big play. Can you respond and keep the team out of the end zone? Good football teams do those little things, and the Broncos were a good football team yesterday. They did all those little things, and, you know, what's great, we just haven't seen that around here a lot.
Right.
You know, and so yep. That's what made it so much fun. You know, we're not crowning them, but, man, that first game was it's hard to be much better than what the Broncos were able to do yesterday. I mean, you couldn't have scripted it to be better.
Are we about to witness a coming-of-age season for one Bronco with big expectations? Take a dive into that conversation coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.